sleep, getting enough of it, makes a huge difference to your life, yeah? And the less sleep you get, the more anxious you get about not getting enough sleep. There's nothing worse than dragging yourself through the day when you haven't had enough shut-eye. And getting your baby to sleep, well, it's good for them and good for you. But how to get little ones to sleep is a problem that pretty much all parents face. There's no shortage of advice, though, but it can often be contradictory, sometimes overwhelming, especially in your wrung-out, underslept state. For Life Matters, producer Jennifer Leake is visiting a clinic in Brisbane that encourages parents to throw out the rule book on infant sleep.
I am Lily, and I have a 2-year-old son, Milton. He refused to sleep during the day. On a really good day, I would get him to sleep for about 20 minutes. And then at night time, he woke every 20 minutes to an hour until he was one. And then he started sleeping through the night and didn't stop sleeping through the night.
What did you do to cope with that?
A lot of crying for me, not him. I would go to sleep at about 6 p.m. and my husband would stay up until about 1. And then he would go to sleep and I would wake up and take him until the morning.
I'm at a playgroup in South Brisbane. A lot of the mums here have 2 children now, but for their first baby, sleep was often one of the biggest challenges.
My name's Lucy. I have a 5-year-old stepdaughter, a 3-year-old son, and a 2-month daughter.
How's baby sleep going the second time around?
Sleep is better this time. He was horrible. He didn't sleep for the first year, like at all, really. It was just up and down. I don't know if it's because of a second time parent now, like it's just, I'm calmer, but she's just easier.
New parents are given a lot of familiar advice around infant sleep. Don't let your baby get overtired or overstimulated. Don't feed them to sleep. Get good daytime naps and so on. But I'm going to visit a clinic in Brisbane which says you can forget all of that and just trust that your baby will get the sleep it needs. Before we do that though, here's a more typical approach.
My strategy, which will begin from really the moment the baby's born, is to avoid the two principal problems of newborns, as in healthy newborns, and that is hunger and overtiredness.
This is Dr. Brian Simon, a GP who's been specialising in the care of mothers and babies for over 15 years. My daughter was with us, so you'll hear her occasionally too.
The key messages are really very simple. In the first probably about 3 weeks, the aims, the agendas for care are just feed and sleep and grow. In terms of the time awake, on average for a newborn baby, let's say in the first week, so up, feed, nappy change, little cuddle and down, I'd like that to be sort of 30 to 40 minutes. That time will expand, but it expands very, very slowly, probably at a speed of 5 to 10 minutes per month. A common problem for mums is that the babies can be, they can get hungry. They cry because they're hungry, because they're crying. It keeps them awake longer. They become overtired. And then because they're overtired, the ability to achieve and maintain sleep is diminished.
Let's assume that my baby is getting well fed, so we've ticked that box. How do I get her to sleep effectively?
The babies have a window of opportunity for going to sleep, and babies will function quite well for a period of time, let's say 30, 40 minutes, and then in a space of 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, that's a pretty tight window, they become tired, and then if you can get them down in that window, they'll go to sleep with pretty good efficiency. But if you miss the window, if you miss that opportunity by 10, 20, 30 minutes, the babies move into a tired state and then an overtired state. And then once they're overtired, their ability to achieve and maintain sleep goes down. It is very common for mums to come in and they're up 5 to 10 times a night. Now, in terms of letting go and getting the baby to sleep through the night, there's a number of strategies. So you've got to make sure the baby is well. You can't ask them to learn sleep skills if they're unwell. They've got to be well fed. They need to be put down at an appropriate time. And for almost all babies, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is an appropriate bedtime window. And then once the mother has put the baby down, to leave them be to the best of their ability. These days, I prefer a strict no-contact approach. baby's prepared for bed, can feel mother's affection, they've got a full tummy, and then leave them be to find their way to sleep and don't physically respond until they are asleep. It feels, for a lot of women, very counterintuitive. Just let the baby cry to sleep. But the reason it's the technique of kindness, in my opinion, is that you get the best improvement in nighttime sleep most rapidly. And from the very first night that they sleep well, when they wake up in the morning, they're unambiguously in a better place emotionally. And the mother can see the baby's happier and they say, okay, I get it. I didn't enjoy it as a mum, I hated it, but clearly my baby's in a better place. I'm in a better place.
My name's Alicia. I have two daughters, Dot, who is 5.5, and Rio, who's 2.5.
Alicia went to see Dr. Brian Simon while she was pregnant with her first daughter.
I know what the time is at any point in the day. Like, I was very aware of the clock and the time. I wasn't too stressed about it because she was just falling into place, because I was just following the rules and making sure that she wasn't overtired, so I knew that she'd have a solid sleep. So I never had the stress of, oh my God, is she going to sleep long enough or whatever, because I knew she'd been fed enough, put to sleep early enough, and then she'd always have a solid sleep.
I've spoken to some mums who get scared by that kind of approach, worried that they're going to have to let their baby cry. And did you have to deal with that? Was your baby crying much?
No, she was never overtired. And I knew, as long as she was putting on weight, which, you know, you're always going to the doctor and making sure that's happening. So I knew she was putting on weight, so the feeding was working. She was going to bed on time and she was never left overtired. So she'd never be in the distressed state. So I never really had to deal with her crying, which was the best thing. So when she did cry, it would normally be the end of the day where, you know, they accumulate that overtiredness. And I just knew that she was overtired.
You mentioned earlier when we were chatting, you think that people overthink the sleeping issue with babies. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I think that there's just so much information from all the books and other mothers and blogs, and I just think that there's a lot of information taken from all these different resources, and people just kind of make up their own way, which is fine, like you do what you need to do, but it makes it confusing. You know, not saying what I did was right, but it worked. I chose one person to listen to, who was Dr. Simons, and I was like, not listening to anyone else, not listening to aunties or uncles or grandmas or friends. I was like, I'm choosing this advice. It makes sense. It's from someone that's studied infant sleep, and that was it.
A lot of parents find these techniques successful, but if your baby isn't sleeping, the Possums Clinic in Brisbane has an alternative. Here's Dr. Pamela Douglas, a GP and medical director of the Possums Clinic.
Parents are being told that if you don't get good sleep habits now, your child may not reach her full cognitive potential and in fact may be more at risk of behavioural problems. Now, these are things that parents are actually being told very regularly on the ground. And I've got to tell you, it makes parents really, really worried. I mean, if I say that to get your child's best developmental outcomes, you've got to do this and this, you'll walk over hot coals to do it. Let's look at newborns. You can have a newborn who really is just sleeping 9 hours in a 24-hour period, maybe just half an hour total during the day. I mean, it does pose challenges for parents, and it's at the very low end of the bell curve, but these are normal babies. And then you'll have a newborn who's sleeping literally twice as much in a 24-hour period, still normal, and the same developmental outcomes.
One baby is born needing a certain amount of sleep to begin with, another one another.
It's like the colour of our skin, the shape of our bodies. Our sleep needs are biologically determined and highly variable. We start by setting the circadian clock with a fairly crisp wake-up time every morning. This is really important. We're not saying get your rigid bedtimes at night. We're saying let's get a really reliable get-up time in the morning and then move into a day that's full of rich sensory nourishment, not focused on sleep at all. Sleep happens as if the bub's just fitting into your day, basically, outside the home. Then in the evenings, again, as is happening during the day, sleep is being driven by sleep pressure.
The homeostatic sleep pressure is a biological need for sleep that builds the longer you go without sleep. If a baby's sleep pressure isn't high enough, getting to sleep will be a struggle.
The idea that sleep is driven by sleep associations and that we have to teach our baby sleep associations to go to sleep really doesn't make sense biologically. Sleep is controlled by sleep pressure, and so we're often asking our little people to go to sleep before the sleep pressure's high enough. We don't talk about tired cues because often when parents are being given these lists of tired signs, they're being taught to interpret their bubby's communications in ways that may actually be very unhelpful. For instance, a little one might be dialing up inside the house during the day, getting a bit cranky. Sure, the sleep pressure might be starting to rise, but actually, as soon as you step outside and change the sensory environment, that little one's dialed down and happy to be engaged with the world for quite a lot longer yet before the sleep pressure really is high and sleep is easy. So similarly in the evenings, we're actually letting sleep pressure be the guide. If we're using a crisp get-up time each morning in the family so that the circadian clock really is set in a healthy way, then sleeps happen during the day flexibly, and in the evenings, we're just waiting till that sleep pressure is really nice and high and you know that the little one's going to drop off to sleep really quickly, let's say with a breastfeed or with the bottle.
After parents have had an initial consultation at Possums, they're able to attend free support clinics that are run every fortnight. Mothers and babies gather to share stories and ask the Possum staff questions. I caught up with a group of mums after a session.
Henry was just furious, is how we felt, just a furious newborn. And I think for us, it's going to make me cry thinking back to then, but I think you read a lot online about cues was the thing that used to just piss me off, because there's this list of cues as long as your arm and it all means he's tired or he's hungry, and then you're supposed to put him down drowsy but awake, and you're supposed to feed every 4 hours. So you're supposed to meet these cues, but only in this way, and if you're not doing that, then you're doing it wrong.
You took up that idea of perhaps letting her sleep less during the day and lots of sensory exposure, and how did that work for you?
Yeah, it was fine. Like, I was sort of creating the sleep environment, so she would look a little bit tired and I would sort of close the curtains, swaddle her up, put in the dummy, chuck her into bed with the white noise, and she had this glorious 2 hours sleep, which is great for me because I clean my house and do my laundry and whatever. And so it wasn't that hard to just open the curtains, and she sleeps less, and she's not as sort of, you know, after she had 2 hours sleep in the day, she was sort of quite happy about it. And so she's a little bit grumpy in the day, getting less sleep, but she sleeps at night better, so.
I think we're kind of back to front in that we were naturally doing the Possum's way when he was younger, and it was working. So very early on, he actually slept bigger chunks at night, pretty much didn't sleep during the day. And I was lucky I had a lot of friends with babies, so I just went, I've got a non-sleeper like my other friend. So I didn't worry about it. We were fine, and then I think over time all those voices get to you, and I was like, he's not normal, or you hit a patch where things aren't quite as good, and you go, it's because he's not sleeping during the day, or he's not doing this. So I think we got a bit mixed up the other way, in that we were doing it, and then stop.
Your baby is 10 months old. You've obviously had some good patches and bad patches in terms of sleep. Looking back on the last 10 months, like, how's it been for you emotionally and your partner? How have you weathered all of that?
I think we're lucky in that we have very similar approaches. So he supports me. And, like, we tried the whole, we've seen the sleepy cue, he needs a nap, let's do this. Seeing a 3-hour battle later, he slept for 40 minutes and we just went, that was not worth our entire Saturday. So
I've stopped obsessing as well, so we just, like, I don't know how often he wakes at night because I don't care. Like, I mean, obviously I'd love to sleep through it, that'd be great, but you just stop counting and stop looking at it and just be lazy and relaxed, and you can actually enjoy your baby rather than trying to make him fit the mold.